right, Monday afternoon, a few scattered showers, some of them kind of heavy around this afternoon. And, you know, there's that little system that looks like it's going to kind of scoot across Florida and maybe get into the Gulf of Mexico, but it doesn't look like it's going to have time to really become anything at all. Hey, this past week, we missed Chris Miller, our regular news anchor. Chris, did you get a chance to take your family on vacation?
Yeah, just, you know, took some time off, recharge, all that.
Yeah, it's nice. So you guys have fun? You got off with the kids? What's up with the kids?
Yeah, we had a great time.
Yeah, cool. All right, always nice to get away.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Yeah. But you got to come back. But, hey, I love being here.
So yeah, you know, but if you really do vacation right, you're always kind of happy to be home. I mean, there's a part of it that makes you happy to be, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to my own bed, kind of looking forward to being back. All right.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. That's the way I've
after 10 hours in the car, definitely.
Well, yeah. And I'm about to take a long trip as well. That's a long time. And well, it's a lot easier today because kids have things to entertain them in the car. You know, I didn't have that growing up.
No. Yeah. Growing up, it was, you know, just watching trees go by, or maybe you pick up an issue of Mad Magazine before the trip starts. Now the kids are all on their phones and they can charge the phones in the car so they don't run out.
And I mean, they can watch movies. I mean, they can do any. I mean, traveling today, that would be a good topic. Traveling today is a lot easier than it was when we were growing up. You know, we got out into West Texas, driving to Phoenix every year to see my family, my grandparents and grandfather. My dad out in West Texas would get the gun out of, he'd get his pistol out of the glove compartment and shoot at road signs.
So that's how those holes always end up.
That's exactly right. If you're going through West Texas and you see holes in signs, yeah, my dad might have done that. All right, Chris, glad to have you back. All right, we are talking about a number of things this afternoon, and I think the one thing that just prevails is this bully mentality coming from the White House, and unfortunately, it's kind of spreading across America, and it's not brand new. It just seems like it's ramping up. And when bullies find out that they punch somebody and the people get up and they retaliate, then the bullies get even tougher with being a bully. And so, it's not good, but it's happening. It's happening. And again, as I've said all day today, I want to remind those of you who are younger Xers and especially younger millennials and Zoomers, if you are just really paying attention to politics now and you think it's like this all the time, it's not. I hope it changes. It might not. It might be like this forever, but I do believe it's going to probably change. And we're going to ease into a time when it's when being a bully when it comes to everything is not the prevailing factor. And that just seems to be a big factor in the world today. The idea that, you know, the way you get something is to retaliate, or you just, you know, you bully your way through it. But being a bully is the manifestation of somebody who doesn't rely on intellect. So anyway, I'm going to leave it at that. This is kind of funny. Somebody was sitting next on a flight, sitting next to Matt Gaetz, who was texting his mom. And his mom apparently was telling him, you know, you better back the president on foreign policy. You better back the president on all this stuff. And he said that he's just trying to he typed his mom back and said, or texted her back, I'm just trying to guide him, not criticize him. And his mom was like calling him out for criticizing the president. He says, you know, but I've never been freer to share my views, and I'll continue to do so. His mom is also telling him that he better hang on to the job that he has, which is the Matt Gaetz show on One America News Network. Matt Gaetz is one of those pretty boys who wants to be on TV. I think that's why he got into politics. He wants to be on TV. And I think he thought he was going to be hired by Fox News. He wasn't. He gets hired by One America News Network, which, you know, is really kind of down there at the bottom. So he has this show, and his mom's telling him he better hang on to the show. And he's not trying to criticize the president, just trying to guide him. All right, this is a breaking this afternoon. Elon Musk is calling for a new political party to stop Trump's insane spending. So we don't know all the details of the big, not-so-beautiful bill. because it's big and it's not so beautiful. And it's not everything Donald Trump wants it to be. Well, I guess it's everything he wants it to be, but the criticism of the big, beautiful bill is not everything he wants it to be. And one of the things that should bother all of us, and it bothers me, is what appears to be tax breaks for the rich and less consideration for the middle class. Now, Elon Musk has shown different sides, but it's kind of hard to disagree with him. It would be great if we had a new political party. I mean, that would put the Republicans and the Democrats on notice. Would it be a better political party? I don't know. But it would take the centralization away from the Republicans and the Democrats, who really are not that different. And they control everything. And I think a third party speaks to the more independent-minded Americans that really do care about America, care about government, care about politics, and they're just exhausted and fed up with everything the way it has been. And no matter how much we complain, we still put the same people in office. And this last presidential election was a great example of Donald Trump was the Republican nominee. In some ways, as a result of the primary system. And we've talked about this before. So Donald Trump gets the nomination. There are a lot of people, a lot of Republicans who don't like Donald Trump. But they couldn't vote for Kamala Harris because she was a terrible candidate. She wasn't the right candidate. Joe Biden wasn't the right candidate either. And Joe Biden and the people closest to him who hid his medical condition from us, he stayed in the race way too long. If he had gotten out of the race or announced that he was not going to run for re-election earlier, it would have given the process a chance to work. And there could have been another candidate in there who was better than Kamala Harris, who had time to win the support of Democrats and wasn't just thrown in there at the last minute. That could have worked. That could have been maybe a different situation in terms of the outcome of the election. But we know a lot of people voted for Donald Trump who didn't want to. But the alternative wasn't right. Would a new political party get enough attention to where it could actually threaten the Republicans or the Democrats? I'd like to think that there are enough moderate Democrats and moderate Republicans and independents in this country that when you look at the moderate Democrats and Republicans and independents, they outnumber by far the right wingers and the left wingers, the progressive liberals and the right wing radicals. They do not dominate. They don't. It's the rest of us. It's the rhinos. It's the independents. And it's the moderate Democrats. We determine the outcome of elections. It's people like me who are radical moderate. They might not know it, but they're radical moderates. They're radical in that they have strong opinions. They're not on the fence. They're not wishy-washy. They have strong opinions when it comes to every topic. But they're not beholden to either political tribe. So a new political party might actually, I think, maybe gain some traction, maybe more so than before. Now, Elon Musk is not my favorite person, and it would depend on what kind of party he's trying to organize, but he's got the money to do almost anything. And this is just, you know, breaking this afternoon that Elon Musk wants to call for a new political party. Is that an answer to our problems? You know, it's so hard for an independent candidate to break through. We've had independents in the past, but they really have not gone very far. And it's because of the entrenched politics on the right and the left, the Democrats and Republicans that control everything. And they know they control everything. And they know how to control everything. But they know how to control everything because there's just two parties. If there was another party, that might just throw everything into temporary political chaos, but it might end up to where we have another choice. Now, I don't know if the other choice would be the right choice. There would still be people voting for a Republican or voting for a Democrat that they didn't want to vote for because they don't like the new political party. I don't know what the new political party would be like. Elon Musk seems to care a lot about spending, but when he was co-president, the way he wants to cut spending, I don't think is the right way to do it. We talked about this last week or the week before. When you fire people, when it's a blanket firing and you fire all these federal workers, and then now you're desperately trying to hire some back, that means it was a mistake and you didn't handle that in the right way. Yes, there's a lot of government waste, redundancy, and there are a lot of cuts that could be made. But just this blanket firing was not the way to do it. And so I agreed that government needs to be cut, but that's not the way to do it. And the fact that they're now trying to hire back some of these people means that that was not the way to do it. All right. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenheart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. But look, here's what I want to do here. Very quickly, let's do a real fast, instant text off. It looks like, according to an article that we have on our website, WWL.com, that crawfish are going to be available for the 4th of July. And that's not always the case. Which is better? Which would you rather have? Crawfish or crabs? Would you rather go to a crawfish boil or a crab boil? So text crawfish or crabs to the Oakenheart text line, 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. Text crawfish or crabs to the Oakenheart text line, 504-260-1870. And we'll have the results for you coming up right after this break. All right. Happy birthday today to bass player for Better Than Ezra. Tom Drummond is having a birthday today. So, Tom, very, very happy birthday. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1989, the biological film Great Balls of Fire about Jerry Lee Lewis debuted in theaters nationwide. Look, I thought this was a really, really good movie, and Jerry Lee Lewis was not real happy with Dennis Quaid playing him. But, Lo, if you're Jerry Lee Lewis and Dennis Quaid plays you, you know, you ought to feel pretty fortunate. And I think Dennis Quaid did a lot of the singing in that, didn't he?
I'm not sure who did the singing. I'm kind of hung up on you calling it a biological film. I think the word you're reaching for is biographical film.
Yeah, that's what I meant, biographical.
Biological film is the thing that you get on the inside of your cooler if you there don't
was
dump
that,
it out.
Well, there was the dissecting of Jerry Lee Lewis. No, it was not biological. Hey, come on, it's Manic Monday. Great Balls of Fire was a biographical film. Thank you for correcting me.
It's
on
crazy.
That.
No, and well, of course. But I I'm looking at the album art on that on that piece of music, and Dennis Quaid as a young man does not look like Dennis Quaid that we know today. He's really, I don't know. I'm not saying he aged poorly or he got some work done or something. He just doesn't look the same.
No, he just, he got really ripped. He got really buff, but then he also lost a lot of weight. And so he looks kind of sunken.
A little hollow.
Yeah. But I think, look, see if you can check and see if he did Great Balls of Fire. I think he did a lot of the singing in the movie because Dennis Quaid had a band. He was trying to make it as a rock star, too, but that didn't work. Kevin Bacon tried to make it as a rock star. That didn't quite work. They still had their bands, I think.
Yes, Dennis Quaid did sing in Great Balls of Fire.
Yeah, I thought so.
The movie also features a music video with both Quaid and Lewis playing the piano and snippets from the film.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was a good movie. It was a good biological movie.
A biological film. Honey, there's a biological film in the kitchen sink.
Biological. Yeah, that does sound kind of... Biological film sounds like something that comes at the result of an autopsy.
Yeah, geez. I got to go to the doctor... I got a biological film.
The biological
get it checked out.
Film is going down the drain right now. All right. So we had the quick text off. We did just a quickie instant text off on the show. So which is better, crawfish or crabs? Running away with it. Crawfish.
Crushed it.
Really? Do you prefer crawfish to crabs?
Absolutely.
No way.
Absolutely.
No way.
And look, I'm not even... Everyone, turn off your radio so I can talk privately to Scoot for just
okay.
a second.
All right. We're all three of you.
I don't really even like lake crabs that much.
Really?
I mean, I'll eat them. I'll enjoy them. But I'm never going to order it at a restaurant. I mean, I'm never going to order a soft-shell crab po' boy.
I don't know. I don't like soft-shell crab. But no. I like just the boiled blue crabs. Is it because of the work that it takes to get the meat?
Yeah, it's just way too much work.
If it weren't for the work, would you like the crab meat better than the crawfish meat?
I don't think so. And not because I don't like crab meat, but crawfish meat is better. I just like the flavor better.
I like crawfish. I mean, I love crawfish. But if I had a choice, crawfish boil, crab boil, I'm going to the crab boil.
Mm.
But that's not to say that I would turn down an invitation to a crawfish boil.
No, of course not.
I would go to a crawfish boil.
Yeah, let me be clear. I'll eat crabs. I'll eat anything.
Yeah.
I'm not a picky eater in the least.
I do love
very
crabs.
Few things I don't like except marshmallow peeps. We're not. We don't have time for
no,
it.
We're
today. It's
save
not
that
what we're doing the show today.
Save that for Easter.
That's another time.
But you know, when it comes to once you get all the big chunks of meat out of the Dungeness crab or the snow crab, it's
yes.
hard to sit through and pick through those lake crabs. I have to
yeah.
admit.
Yeah.
But if you're just relaxing and hanging out with people, and or you're with somebody and you're watching something on TV, watching a movie, and you're sitting there in the living room or wherever, and you're just picking crabs, I love that. I prefer crabs to crawfish, but I love crawfish. All right. If you want to join us with a comment on this Manic Monday, the Oakenhard Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. So Americans spend 49 hours a year on their phones when they're on the toilet. Gen Z leads the pack. 54 hours. 66% are scrolling social media while they're on the throne. 40% are streaming videos. 37% are responding to messages. And 2% are taking video calls while they're sitting on the toilet. I can't imagine that. I mean, you can look at the back. You can look in the background, and chances are there's a cabinet above the toilet. I mean, it would be pretty hard to mistake that scene of sitting on the toilet. Hey, I'm on the toilet. Go ahead. What do you want? No, I'm not taking any video calls in the bathroom.
That's psychotic.
60% admitted that they hang out sitting on the toilet longer just to finish a task on their phone. 42% say it's a deliberate attempt to escape from people.
That's real.
I get that. I can make it seem like I've got a real serious issue if I just want to hang out in there. 25% say they wipe their phones. The rest don't. 75% don't wipe their phones after they leave. Now, if you don't, well, it depends on the order in which you do things, but you could conceivably create a hygiene catastrophe if you did things in a certain order and didn't wipe your phone. If you do things in a different order, you don't need to wipe your phone. If you wash your hands before you touch the phone after, you know, we don't have to get graphic about that. That's a lot of time in there. I mean, it's free time. You're just sitting there.
49 hours.
But, you know, sitting there longer than you're supposed to, you know, proctologists will tell you that's not good for your digestive system.
Oh, no.
Because of gravity. Gravity, you know, pulls everything down.
Yeah.
And, you don't want to sit there longer than you have to.
Nope.
Yep. All right. Let's go to John in Covington. John, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Scoop, what an informative radio show. Wow, that's incredible. Hey,
you know, John,
we try, John, every day
to be the most informative. And if it comes to time spent while you're sitting on the toilet, we're gonna give you that. Where else are you going to get that?
I'm not getting it anywhere. And, you know, I will tell you, I'm sure that hopefully a young advertising person grabbed onto this from maybe New York or whatever, and you know what? This could be a new deal for them. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I got to say, you and I finally have hit common ground. I agree with you. I think there's too much, much too much bullying going on both camps. I think the Democrats, Republicans, I mean, it gets ridiculous. I think, you know, we came up in a time, even a little later, where the bullying, we didn't have that. We had Chip O'Neill, Ronald Reagan.
Yeah.
You know, they would go behind closed doors. They'd come up with something.
Yeah.
And you know what? One lost a little, one lost, the other one lost a little, but they came to common ground.
That's right.
And it wasn't this negativity. I mean, they really get down in the dirt on some of these issues. It's horrible.
You know, John, I think you could even argue that to some degree also Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich, they came to compromises, and that's just not happening today.
Absolutely. It's just a different time, I think. And unfortunately, I think it's going to escalate because it creates more and more tension on both sides. And then one outdoes the other. And I mean, when have you seen senators act like they do now?
Never.
I mean, I remember, you know, I've read a story about the Civil War where they had an issue and one senator hit the other one in the head with a cane. That's what it's going to come to. And it's really, you know, everyone has tensions now.
And, I do think it's going to get worse before it gets better, but I have confidence that we're going to reach a point where people are going to go, enough is enough. And, John, you know, you're an example of what we think about on this show quite often. If you listen long enough, there's going to come a time when we actually agree. But you have to listen for a long time. You have to listen a long time for that to happen.
Well, Scoot, I've always, you know, listened to you, and I agree a lot of times with what you say, and I've met you several times. You're a wonderful individual to talk to, and I'm going back to late 70s. But, you know, as far as the big beautiful bill, I think we really need to see what's going to come out of it. I mean, I am certainly for Social Security. I've been taxed twice. This would be twice.
Yeah.
And pull that out. You know what? A person that's busting their ass working tables shouldn't be taxed on their tips. That's the keynotes for me.
Yeah, I'm for that. I'm okay with no tax on tips. I mean, I'm okay with giving people like that in society a break.
Dude, we pay, and that, you know what? These people are sitting around. Me and you are sitting here discussing while these people in Washington are eating their bacon-wrapped shrimp, and they're sitting there, and behind closed doors, they're all buddies. They're buddies, dude.
Yeah,
and
I know. People find that hard to believe.
They play us. They go and they do these little screenshots, and at behind closed doors, they're buddies.
Yeah. But John, I think there's some ugliness there, and not everybody's a buddy. I'm going to have to move on here, John, but I really appreciate the call, and I appreciate what you have said about me and about the show, and thank you. And, you know, I think we need to understand that we live in a country where we should be able to disagree and not hate each other, and that's something that we have lost in recent years, and I hope we get back to realizing that we can disagree without hating each other. But look, there is a lot of hate. I think there's a lot of personal hate. But a lot of these people do get along behind closed doors. And you know, one of the reasons that this whole tension and this bulliness, some of this stuff may not go away right away, is because it's entertaining. It is entertaining. It's great for the news. It's great for social media. It draws people to the news and social media, and that's their goal. You know, when it was realized by the networks that the news department could generate money for the network, that's when news changed. and news became more entertainment-oriented than news-oriented. And it's all about what gets your attention, like the extensive coverage of the wedding in Venice from Amazon founder Jeff Bezos and his wife, Lauren Sanchez. All of that coverage, we don't need to know that. They don't affect our lives. Not at all. But people wanted to see it, and it's entertainment, so it's on TV. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. You know, we're going through a really confusing time in America, and I hope you tune in every afternoon from 1 to 4. We try to sort through it all from the perspective of an independent or radical moderate. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not a Republican. I'm not right-wing. I'm not left-wing. And I'm very honest about what I believe. I'm not right about everything. And sometimes we make mistakes, but we correct those mistakes right away. We don't perpetrate lies, and we try to call out the lies. We're getting some information now about the Idaho shooter. Apparently, the Idaho shooter was only 20 years old, and he lured firefighters in by setting a brush fire in Idaho before ambushing them. Now, his parents are big-time MAGA supporters. But that doesn't mean he is. His parents are seen pictured here, looking at a picture right now, and they're wearing MAGA hats. So, again, we're just learning. I'm just passing this information on. I don't know everything definitive about this. You know, we're not sure. But when I told you I've been in Coeur d'Alene, where this took place, and as beautiful as it is, it's really an ugly, ugly part of America. Because of the number of right-wing radicals and nationalists, white nationalists that live there. They are anti-government, many of them anti-government. And this 20-year-old apparently is anti-government, anti-police, anti-law enforcement. And a lot of his accounts have been deleted. But I'm assuming that they have the information. Now, here's what I worry about. Idaho, I'm assuming Idaho is a very, very red state, very red. And I wonder if the police want to protect his identity and they don't want to let the information out because they don't want to link him to MAGA if he was a MAGA supporter. I don't know. We don't know. We're just speculating. We're just getting this information. You and I are just having a conversation about this, and I'm not saying anything definitive yet. But because of my knowledge of that area, I would not be surprised if this was a right-wing radical. Now, there are right-wing radicals who are violent. There are right-wing radicals who are just right-wing radicals in terms of their belief in certain policy, their belief in Donald Trump, but they're nonviolent people. So I want to make that distinction here. But it's going to be interesting to see what we learn in the next 24 hours. And I wonder if law enforcement there wants to protect the identity of this person. They don't want to let the true identity out, because he is a right-wing radical. And they don't want that to get out because they don't want it to be one of their people who did this. If it were Antifa or somebody like that, I'm sure the information from them would flow smoothly. So just as you hear about this happening into this evening, as you hear about more information coming out, just be aware of the possibility that maybe they don't want the true information to come out because they don't want him linked to the right. We'll see. Let's go to Gentile. Elmo, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hello, Scoot.
Hey, Elmo.
Thanks for being on the show. With the 4th of July coming up, I've called the show before talking about the Declaration of Independence, and I abide by it very much. But with the 4th of July coming up, I thought I would share something that's often overlooked, and that was the list of the grievances that the Declaration ended with. And I would like to summarize some. There's a lot there, and I suggest people go read them and think about them.
Okay. How long will this take? I've got a few minutes if you can do it in that time.
Well, I'll try to do it fast, okay?
Okay.
Refused to allow laws unless suited to his purpose. He dissolved representative houses and replaced them. He made the military independent and superior to civil law. Attempted to make judges dependent on his will. Post tariffs and taxes without cause. We all remember the Boston Tea Party. cut off trade with all parts of the world. He has endeavored to prevent the population of these states, that's immigration, of those that he didn't approve. So with the 4th of July coming up, and we're celebrating Independence Day, I just want to say how great it is that we don't have to worry about this kind of bullshit anymore. Hello.
All right, Elmo, I appreciate the call. Yeah, look, you know, I think we're really close to it, but we can't quite say BS on the air yet. But you know, we can't quite say it yet. So, but look, I appreciate the way you just, you know, so smoothly said, you know, we don't have to put up with this any longer. I think we're going to be okay as a country. I've said that many times, and I'm going to, on this show, you know, we're going to tell you the truth, but we're also going to be positive about America and the strength of this country and the collective resolve of this country. We're going to get through this. Craig, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, how you doing, Scoot?
I'm good.
Long time listener. Love you, man.
Appreciate it. Thank you. I'm honored.
And look, dude, I just called because I'm Donald Trump, and to be this bold to make that statement, it's one thing to have that presumption or to presume that's what he, how he's going to portray you if you don't vote for him. But it's another thing to say it and to make it known. And he does it to scare the rest of the Republican Party, the guys in Congress, that if you do go this way, this is what's going to happen. But you're in a catch-22 to me. You follow him because I think the Republican Party is going to take a hit after this year. And if you follow him, you're going to lose. If you go against him, you're going to lose. So you might as well stand up and take a stand and be your own person and not let him bully you into doing what he thinks is right, because it's all about him. It ain't about the people. It's about him if he can make a statement like that.
Craig, you're
absolutely... It ain't about the people.
No, you're absolutely right. Craig, I appreciate the call. I've got to get your break here. But, I mean, Craig brings up a great point. I mean, we talked about this a little while ago. Senator Tom Tillis of North Carolina, he's not going to run for reelection because Trump has threatened him because he voted no on the big, not-so-beautiful bill. And Trump threatened him, I'm going to put a lot of money into your candidate in the primary, so you're going to lose. I don't think Donald Trump's endorsement or money is going to be that powerful in the midterm elections. If I'm wrong, I'll admit it. But I don't think he's going to be that powerful in the midterm elections. And we'll be here on this show to actually talk about that. All right. On the Scoot on the Air calendar, on this day in 1977, Marvel Comics published the Kiss comic book. And the ink used for the comic book had blood from Gene Simmons, Paul Stanley, Ace Frehley, and Peter Criss in it. They drew blood during a concert February 21st, 1977 in New York. The production ink was mixed with their blood in the presence of a public notary, so it was all official. And the ink used to print the comic book had the blood of Kiss in it. Ugh. I'm Scoot. We'll be back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next. Thanks to Diane Newman, Ian Hoke, Market Manager Dan Barron, Traffic with Court DP. As always, I thank all of you for being part of the show. The fate of the big, not-so-beautiful bill and Sean Diddy Combs hang in the balance. We may talk about that tomorrow. We'll know more about the Idaho shooter. We'll talk more about that, too. I'm Scoot. Have a great afternoon. Love you, New Orleans.